Today is the first day of Advent, and we're starting a new sermon series called Wait Upon the Lord With. And today we're going to be looking at waiting with faith, waiting on the Lord with faith. In the coming weeks, we will look at waiting on the Lord with hope, with rejoicing, and with gratitude. Advent is here. It's hard to believe that we're entering the Christmas season already. I knew that the Advent season was almost here when I started seeing Advent calendars appearing in stores. Now, I'm not talking about the calendars that you pick up here at church. I mean the ones that you can buy at the store, like the Harry Potter calendar, 12 Days of Hot Sauce, the Office Funko calendar, Luxury Chocolate calendar, Marvel calendar, a Hot Wheels calendar, Lego, a Vintage Wine calendar, and many, many more. I found all these on a webpage that was telling me about their picks for the 50 best Advent calendars of 2021. I scrolled through them all, thinking that, well, one of them would be a countdown to Jesus' birth, but no. Every one of them was a countdown to Santa, or just a reason to sample and enjoy their products. Calendars about the advent of Jesus Christ didn't even make the top 50. Christmas became heavily secularized a long time ago, and I got to the point where I almost enjoyed Advent more, because at least it was still focused on Christ. They had taken over Christmas, but the church still had Advent. Well, I guess when the world sees a chance to make money, they're going to want to take over Advent, too. Advent is a countdown. It's a time of waiting. It's easy to get confused about what we are waiting for. Are we waiting for Santa Claus? For presents? Time off work? Time with family? Well, because we're in church, the obvious answer here is, we are waiting for Jesus' birth, and that's certainly true. Waiting isn't always easy. For example, waiting for a baby to be born is exciting, and the time goes by fast, but not really fast enough. In our Old Testament reading today, Abraham and Sarah were waiting for a baby to be born, but she wasn't even pregnant yet. In fact, she was approaching 90 years old. God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. The problem, as Abraham saw it, was that he and Sarah didn't have any kids, and they weren't exactly young anymore. As the time went by, it became difficult for Abraham to have faith in God that he would fulfill his promise. God knew the waiting was hard on Abraham and Sarah, so he lovingly nurtured their faith, and he did this in at least three ways. God talked to Abraham, not just once, but actually several times. Abraham needed to be reminded of God's promise and reassured that the promise would be fulfilled. So God talked to Abraham and reminded him of his love and promise to give them a son and to bring entire nations from them. Secondly, God changed both of their names. His name was originally Abram and hers was originally Sarai. Abraham is a play on words. It sounds similar to Abram, but its meaning conveys God's promise. Abram means exalted father, while Abraham means father of many nations. Now both Sarai and Sarah mean roughly the same thing, princess or woman of strength. Think about it. Every time they spoke their names to each other, every time they signed a document, they would think of God's promise to give them a son. And third, God commanded that Abraham, all the males of his household, and all Hebrew males in the future be circumcised, and that babies were to be circumcised on the eighth day after their birth. Now, right now, all the men are thinking, whoa, what's loving about that? Just changing my name would have been enough for me. Well, other ancient nations of that time practiced circumcision, but for them, it was a ritual performed only on adult males that was related to marriage or fertility. Circumcision was not just for the Hebrew men, but also for their slaves. They were part of God's covenant, too. Hebrew circumcision gained a new meaning, a covenant promise from God. It was an unforgettable reminder of God's promise. Well, Abraham and Sarah waited, and eventually their faith was rewarded, and they saw God's promise come true with the birth of their son Isaac, while Sarah was at the ripe young age of 90. Abraham is remembered for his faith in God, but his faith was greatly tested, patience was required, and his faith was lovingly nurtured by God until the promise was fulfilled. We too are waiting for a birth, the birth of the baby Jesus. Of course, we know that God long ago kept that promise to send our Savior, and today begins our waiting to celebrate His birth. We are counting down the days, not until Santa comes, or as an excuse to try new kinds of luxury chocolate, but to prepare our hearts for Jesus. Having faith is hard. I'll admit that my faith struggles sometimes. There was a time when I was younger that I even wondered if God was real. Just as God was patient with Abraham and reassured him many times in different ways, God is patient with me and with you, and He restores our faith. God talks to us through His Word. That might sound like something you would expect to hear in church, but when I was struggling with my faith, it was like I picked up a Bible for the first time. I had read the Bible many times before, studied it, and went to Sunday school regularly, but this time I studied it with urgency, with a heart and a mind that was opened by the Holy Spirit and ready to listen. Also, God makes us new through through baptism. Abraham and Sarah got new names, and we get new life. Our sins are forgiven and removed, and we are made into a new creation. It's like we have a new name too, forgiven, child of God. Third, God is still working to strengthen our faith. It amazes me that as much as our world seems to want to remove God and religion from society, at Christmas, the religiousness of the holiday is preserved. Hark the Herald Angels Sing has some very deep and bold theological statements, like, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Well, I'm not sure it gets much deeper than that, and you can hear those words playing in every retail store at this time of year. Yet, if I tried to say those things any other time of year, I would certainly offend some people, and maybe even be asked to leave. But at Christmas, they play it in the store while you shop. I saw an article on Facebook from Channel 5 News promoting the Christmas caves in Minford, Ohio. I was surprised to see this because I read about this exhibit last year and remembered that the goal of that cave is to tell the story of Christ's birth and the true meaning of Christmas. What surprised me was that a secular local news company was promoting an overtly religious attraction. They'll do that at Christmas, but not at other times of the year, it seems. There are many wonderful Advent calendars and devotion books that help prepare our hearts for Christ and to celebrate His birth. You don't often see them in stores, so you can pick some up for free here in our atrium on the information table. And finally, I love meeting with other people who also love Jesus and want to dive into His Word together and carry together the mission of His cross out into the world. I'm in a small group right now that meets on many Tuesday nights on Zoom. We meet on Zoom because participants are scattered throughout the city, and that makes it easier for us. But we get really deep into the Bible. We pray for each other. There is much laughter. And most of the time, whenever someone needs to miss, they ask if the group can please reschedule because they don't want to miss being with everybody. We've prepared two meals for Bethany House Homeless Shelter, and we've even met for dinner a couple of times in person at a centrally located steakhouse. Being in community with these friends is a joy and a blessing, and through them, God has strengthened my faith. If I can help you connect with others in this way, or if I can help your friend group engage in these types of missional activities, please let me know. Theological Christmas songs in retail stores, secular articles promoting Christmas displays, Advent calendars and books, and my own missional community are all used by the Holy Spirit to keep me anchored in faith in Jesus Christ. It is a faith that lives deep down in my heart. It's not outward, not something that people can see, but yet it is evident in the way that I live. It's like a circumcision of the heart, trusting in God's promise, part of the covenant, the new covenant in Jesus. It's inward and not visible to others, but others can see how my faith in God and His promises moves me to spend time with Him and His Word, love and serve others, worship Him every chance I get, live generously, and more. What keeps you strong in your faith? How does God nurture your faith? And how is your faith being lived out? I don't need to tell you that we are entering into a busy season, and it's so easy to get caught up in buying presents, decorating the house, planning feasts, visiting family, and travel. Why are you going to do what you do this holiday season? as someone who is part of God's covenant in Jesus and with a faith that lives deep down in your heart, look for ways that God is with you and see Him in the traditions and activities of the season, reassuring you of His presence and nurturing your faith. As you eagerly wait to celebrate the birth of Christ and count down the days, remember why Jesus came, to bring you into God's family and cement your place in God's covenant. Let's pray. Dear Father, just as you nurtured the faith of Abraham and Sarah and met them in their period of waiting and doubts, meet with me too and nurture my faith in you. Remind me of your presence and that you are with me always, whether I'm at home, shopping in Target, in the car while traveling to visit family, eating chocolates, or wrapping and opening presents. I am your child, and your promises and gifts are for me too, gifts of forgiveness, new life, and an eternity spent with you. In Jesus' name, amen.